Like,
fuck.
You need 40. A 1.5 from Walmart. The 1.5, yep. $3 trip to the optometrist.
Oh, shit.
Good, we can share glasses.
Yeah. I've never had an issue seeing my chain when I'm filing it.
Oh, it's terrible. It just gets worse, too. You got any open sight rifles? Not anymore. Yeah.
Let's get
start.
This. Where to, well, we need to start by greetings.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Rob.
Hello, Sean.
Hey, Rob. How you doing tonight?
Oh, a lot better. I got.
Hello, everybody.
I got Amy. Hi, Amy. I got free soap.
Right on.
Yeah.
And a wind checker.
Yeah. A little thingy.
Yeah.
Free soap and thingy. What else do I need?
You don't have to.
You got some free soap for your little thingy.
I loaded that up for you. Come on, buddy, fuckers. Bite. And I do appreciate it.
Yeah. So, well, afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, Rob?
Good. I'm doing well. Doing good. Without. Doing well, though. You know? Your time's coming there, Squinty.
Those handcuffs, we should get those and throw them on his hands.
Guys. Yeah.
Okay, I'm good now.
Get him a squishy thing. So, anyways, we got Rob with us again tonight. We're getting all geared up to, we're going to be heading north here soon.
Pretty quick.
So we're just going
over some plans.
Going over plans and
getting
strategy.
Some ideas.
Yeah.
So, this is going to be Rob's first fall season as a guide. So that's going to be super cool.
Yeah. Now I know where I'm headed.
Yep.
Elk Nut. I'm going to get on that. Thank you.
Go check it out. Yep. Yep. And there's a few others, you know,
once
you get on there exploring and that. But there's lots of helpful hints and tips and tactics. And
there's a couple guys I know that might answer even the stupidest questions I have, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a couple.
Give me a little hand. I got soap.
Yeah, and you got soap tonight. So, yeah, Amy was busy making soap, so everybody gets a complimentary bar of soap with the show.
Some bear fat, right?
And, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have to do that, and we'll definitely have to try and get a bear this year that's nice and fat.
Now, does it matter what area the fat comes off of the bear? Like, does it have to be that?
No,
what was that? Fat inside fat.
What? It, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a difference when you're rendering it. I had tried that. I had gone and rendered some fat and used it, and it wants to go rancid, right? It wants to start to smell and stink. And so I had this vaquero at the ranch right out of California, and he started talking about putting tallow on. And I'm like, well, what kind of shit is that? Like, what are you telling people that for? Because it doesn't work with the shit. And I said, it starts to smell. It's only a matter of time, and it gets kind of greasy and starts to smell. And he said, well, what fat did you use? Did you use that internal fat? And so when it comes to things like if you're going to grease your boots or if you're going to put it on leather, use it in that way, then you want to use that internal fat. Because really, when you think about it, when you open an animal up, of course, he's going to be nice and warm, and they've got those globs of that fat that still remains kind of hard and a little bit well put together compared to, say, when we kill a fall bear and, you know, he's got all that body fat on him. That stuff, if it's a warm fall day, I mean, he just starts melting right there.
Yeah.
So it's a different fat. But I think for soap, though, I think it's either or.
Well, I want to do some up for cooking.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know, just have a jar of it on the counter there so a guy can take a scoop, throw a scoop in the pan, and fry up some eggs. Yeah, it's got to be good.
I don't know, man.
Well, right? I'm going to try it.
I would.
Yeah?
Can't be any worse than bacon grease.
I'd use it like a butter replacement myself.
Yeah.
Really?
Organic.
And a good, you know, European high-density bread. You know,
yeah, really.
Like
a
dark rye, and then just slather that bear. Wow. That'd be good.
Well, we're going to have to try it.
Yeah, no, I'll watch.
Have we got any fall bear?
We've got a couple of guys that are interested in bears. So, you know, I keep that, you know, kind of more towards those. It'll be kind of halfway to October, you know, mid-October. So the end of September, mid-October. So
kind of a combo hunt?
Yeah. So that won't be the primary. We don't really have anybody doing any primary, but definitely as a secondary animal. Well, and there's lots of bears.
We're going to try and get out and do some chasing with the dogs here and get
that's
one.
That's cool.
It, what's when's the first? Is it
pretty quick here? Monday?
Really quick.
Tomorrow?
It's the 29th, 2 days.
2 days, and then bear season opens up in our zone. It's already open in seven.
Region 7, yeah.
Yeah, so, and try and get some fat and, you know.
Yeah, no, a good eating bear, that's great.
Yeah, and then I like making them pepperonis and stuff out of the, you know, so.
Nice.
Do you guys want to try some canned bear?
Bear meat, canned bear meat?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I did a whole lots of it.
Oh, right.
From our spring bears?
Yeah, absolutely.
And bear stew.
Yeah. No, it's
tried her out. Tried her out. Yeah. Oh, you like that? That's good.
Do you slept alone that night, but it's I put some turnips in it.
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah. Do you do it in a pressure cooker?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that way that 13-pound steam pressure will kill any bug known to man.
What's normal? Our altitude is it's 10 pound, isn't it?
10 at sea level.
Oh, okay.
So as you go up every 1,000 feet.
Yeah, would you say 13 pound?
13 pounds on the gauge.
And that's something we haven't done much this year is canning, but it just run out of time, you know.
Oh, God. I know all about that.
Right on. But I'll drop some off.
Yeah, yeah.
The stew is frozen.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't can the stew.
Yeah, no, you just pour a can of it's just like opening up a can of Chuck Wagon stew, right?
Yeah.
Or Chunkies, right? Pour it in a pot and warm it up and slice of bread and you know, Bob's your uncle.
we've done it in the past where I had too much, we had only had one freezer.
Right.
And we had a lot of elk and I made a stew.
Do you need a freezer?
Yeah. Kay.
I got a freezer for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It works?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, he just gave it to us.
Cool.
So, yeah. And then
Okay.
Anyways, back on canning there. Yeah, we generally do quite a bit of canning and stuff this time of year, you know. Yeah. And, but I just get so busy doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Building dog kennels.
Huh? This last week we've been just giving her, trying to get this dog kennel up, and the dogs are coming, so.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
We got two here now. So.
Yeah.
How much room do they need? In a kennel?
Not much, as long as you take them out and let them go for a run.
So 6x6, 4x4?
No. We got, the one we built is 16x20.
Okay.
But we're gonna put a partition in there and make two runs out of it. So okay. 8x16, 2 8x16s, right? That sounds right. Yeah. So
nice.
Yeah. And then we'll have four dogs in there, three dogs in there, but there'll be more room for, you know.
Good.
What else?
Well, we're still, you know, for me, I'm watching the fire up north. That's a rager right now happening. And I don't think it's really going to affect any of the hunting. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's smoky as hell. We've spent some time up there. We've been running back and forth, getting camps ready, getting cabins ready. And when I was up on the river last, it was pretty smoky. Like it actually started to bother your eyes. And especially when it got a little bit cooler out towards the evening, everything kind of settled down in. It definitely, you could really feel it. But I'm sure this time of year, I mean, we're starting to see some of this fall weather come in right now.
Well, you notice how the leaves have changed in the last week.
Some of the leaves are changing. Yeah. Well, I had some frost on the window out there.
Yeah.
So
well, it was three here the other morning.
Blackout day, so. Richard
dived. Yeah. Oh, did it ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So when the smoke comes in and completely covers the sun, although it should be a 30-degree day, we've got it down to 10 or 12 even in the middle of the day.
Yeah, what were you guys doing at high noon when the lights went out?
That was crazy. I'd come home from work.
Yeah.
My last night shift, I come home, and I laid down for a couple hours because I wanted to get up and work on the dog kennel.
Yeah.
Right? So I laid down, and I got up, and, you know, it's, you know, crappy out, yucky, smoky, dark. I'm like, okay, whatever. And it just kept getting darker and darker and darker. And
that's right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that was freaky. Yeah.
It was really odd. I was out building fences, and as I was building, I kept looking around, and you'd have your head down just pounding on, you know, rails or whatever, and I'd look back up. Is it getting darker? No. No, it's just the smoke settling. And I just kept, yeah, I just kept, finally, I'm like, oh, no, this is the end of the world. It's happening now. I better go find my wife. Yeah, I'm not going to die alone.
Repent, Mike, repent.
Yeah, I was, as I was traveling towards the house. So, yeah, it was horrible. It was crazy. It was like zombie attack stuff and shit. I mean, I was watching the trees. And,
oh, yeah, no. The kids were running around here acting like zombies.
That's normal, though, for kids, eh?
Yeah. But for people that aren't, can't, you know, doesn't know what happened. It the smoke come in from the fire and just blocked out everything. So at about 12:30, eh? Yeah.
Somewhere
and,
in there, yeah.
And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, to do anything outside, you would have had to have a flashlight.
Pretty much,
basically.
Yeah, yeah. It was almost like an eclipse, but it was just strictly smoke.
No, it was. And then about the time that I gave up on my day of dog kennel building.
Yeah.
And thought, you know, screw it. I'm not doing nothing. I was going to go buy a box of beer and
medicate.
The smoke lifted and I had to go back to work on the dog kennel. It's like, spent the rest of the afternoon outside working.
Hammer and crooked nails. Yeah.
The smoke did stay kind of high though. Like it wasn't low down. It was up high. So it was very... It was strange because right now we deal with a lot of smoke that comes in. I mean, we've been living in smoke like everybody, most of British Columbia for the past month at least, like every day. So when you get a bluebird day, it's amazing. You know, it's incredible.
Like even today, that's pretty close to
stellar. Beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. But normally when we get up, it's kind of like a fog. It'll be like a fog everywhere. It's not. It's smoke or ash, like and ash all over the vehicles. Yeah. Yes.
And you know, now we've had a couple of days. We're starting to get some rain and that. And we've had a couple of fairly clear days. And I feel like crap.
Yeah.
And I was saying earlier, I think we're detoxing from the smoke and that. I'm no doctor or scientist, but God damn.
You're not? Well, what the fuck are we doing here, man? No, I agree. There's something, you know, when I first got here, you know, I came here, you were calling my name. I was looking all over the place. Yeah. I couldn't find you for nothing. And it was, I've been in a bit of a fog now for the past couple of days where you just feel a little bit off, headache.
Yep. Headache, just lethargic.
Yeah. Right? And I think part of it too is if we were smart enough to actually not be out there breathing heavily and all this shit. You know, but you can't stop living.
Well, how do you? Yeah, I got to go to work, right?
Yeah.
Not to mention we got the horrible air quality, but then we got the damn dust at work, right?
Yeah. You know. Yeah. No, I've felt it too. It's been, it's been bad.
But I think now, like we've had a couple of days, our bodies are starting to clean themselves up or whatever.
Right, starting with our brains.
Yeah,
just trying to clean house there. Good luck.
I can fix that. We'll just have another beer here.
So, but it's, as far as that big fire up north there, I think it'll eventually start to slow down. It is really, really large, and they're doing what they can, but it's there's fires everywhere. You know, British Columbia, just like last year, we had the one here close, fairly close by.
Sorry.
No worries, no worries. It was expected. So we had one fairly close by. I think we're pretty good there. I think we're fairly safe when it comes to that Narcosly fire. So I think we're good.
So we're talking millions of acres.
Well,
again
not yet. Are we at the million acre? Oh no, it must be. It must be.
BC-wide, provincially.
Oh god, yeah. Like that fire up north that's close to the area. I think it's at 90,000 hectares right now.
Oh boy!
So it's a bit of
200 and some thousand acres.
Yeah, it's
I'll
huge.
I'll tell you,
that's one fire, man.
One fire.
Man, BC's a big place.
Well, yeah. When you look at Tweedsmuir right now, Tweedsmuir's crazy.
Oh, that's it's unchecked. Huge. They're just
working. Shag Creek. Yep. Shag Creek completely just allowing her to go. I mean, they can't really get into there. So the Itches, part of the Itches, you know, at least the lowlands out there, they're on fire. I mean, there is areas they can't get to.
The North Bezico fire in our stomping grounds, is Teepee Lake Cabin still standing?
I've heard, the reports are it is still standing and fine. Yeah. I just heard that, I think, 2 days ago somebody was reporting on that. Good. So the cabin made it through.
But there is more fires this year than there was last year.
Yes, I think... Yes, so there's a lot of fires. I mean, last year we dealt with them right on our doorstep, and we had one smaller one this year. And by smaller, I think it turned out to be 8,000 hectares or something. I mean, it's still fairly good, but it's not. It's far cry from 90.
So, this is Sage's little report,
right?
Uh, Shag Creek, the Shag Creek fire, 12,322 hectares, which is 30,000 over, just over 30,000 acres, 30,408.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that one's completely unchecked currently.
Yeah, but I think it's, I think I read that it's kind of looking after, like it's okay. calming down by itself.
Right, right.
But there's nothing out there. They're too busy fighting other. Yeah. Yeah. And then, so that's 45 square miles. The North Bezico one, and okay, they've kind of all emerged to the North Bezico, Nasco Road. Da, 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 da. Okay, Blackwater River fire, 8,360 hectares. That's 20,000
acres.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's big stuff.
Yeah.
Like a lot of area.
Yeah. It is, yeah. The Nacozli one, which is the one that was closest to us, was 4,500 hectares. So 11,000. Just over 11,000 acres.
Yeah.
And since our last podcast, we actually have been on evacuation.
Yes. And yeah.
Taken off
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, currently,
I forgot all the votes.
Yeah. So currently, right now, I mean, we were all waiting for any type of an order. So we were on alert. The fire wasn't that far, and it was just a matter of wind on which direction it was going to take it. But I think I haven't heard. Are we off right now? Is everybody? So I'm off as well. Okay, right, right, okay. I wasn't sure if I was off alert. Yeah, I mean, we've kind of all relaxed a little bit. But
so that fire up that up north, that's the Fraser Lake fire?
No. Well, yeah, the Shovel Lake.
Shovel Lake.
Shovel Lake
is fire. Is that the one? Shovel
yeah.
Lake?
That's Shovel Lake is the fire. One, the fire, the on fire that is yeah, close that we're monitoring because that was the one that pretty much had the town of Fort St. James. You know, there was a lot of people. There was kind of a volunteer evacuation.
Oh yeah.
So and they were getting close, but I think ultimately it's probably going to be okay. I mean, it's made it this long, right? And getting into the fall right now, you know, there's been some other places. I've heard that whole Burns Lake country. You know, there's been a lot of houses and stuff lost out there. South Side, those areas. There's been a lot of huge fires out there. Tweedsmuir, as I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
There's just fires, and unfortunately, you know, right now, the way the forests are, with all that beetle kill we've had and just the way it's kind of been, I mean, it's easy to stand back and shit on them and say it was kind of lack of management, but there's in some cases where what were they going to do? Do I think they did the best job out there as far as, you know, the forestry we did see is with timber companies? I mean, no, I think they did a shitty job, but I don't think anybody's seen this coming. And now, unfortunately, because, you know, just because this year, so we had last year and then this year, there's not going to be any difference next year. We're going to get her again, you know, in different areas, but we're going to get her till we get a cleansing here.
You know, Mother Nature's done.
Right.
I think I've said this before on a podcast or one of our podcasts, but I was talking to a gold guy that said the pioneers said, you know, the whole forest turned red and then caught on fire and burnt for 6 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just a story, but
yeah. But right.
Yeah. No. It's got interesting. It's a lot like this. It's been 3 years now. It's
yeah.
Been, right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This won't be the last year.
No. So, and yeah, it's just.
You know, I can add to that. I think, Sean, because I was told when not the turn of this last century, but right in around 1900,
right,
the entire east side of the Fraser River burnt.
Oh, yeah?
They get burnt. All Nylon Lake, all through there, the huge jack pine stands, they're all the same age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They all started at the same time.
Wow.
Jack pine
gets
its life from fire.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a cleansing process, and ultimately what we're going to see left is way better than what we could have done as human beings. There's no cleanup. There's no cleanup we could have done. So this is going to be way better. It's better for everything. It's better for not necessarily the environment for us to breathe it, but ultimately the long run, it's better for the environment. It's better for the landscape. It's better for the wildlife.
So 4 more years to go. So, I guess my math is right.
Yeah. 3 or 4. It's going to be somewhere there.
We're gonna take it.
Yeah.
Can you take it?
Oh yeah.
Well, as long as your house is still standing at the end of it all. That's all we're worried about.
We're going underground. It's like a bunch of prairie dogs.
Yeah. Dig them out.
But ultimately, I think that this is still going to be a great year for us. I'm looking forward to this fall. And, you know, we can talk a little bit here about some of the hunts we got coming and some of the ones we got planned. Of course, we got a pile of moose hunts planned. So hopefully we can get some podcasts going from around the campfire. That could be some interesting stuff.
Yeah, we're going to order in our Zoom.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to order the Zoom so we can do our podcasts on the road. And then, like, we can... You know, we can run out to your house and do a podcast.
Yeah,
too,
no.
Instead of everybody having to meet up here. And
it's going
to
be, yeah. So, it'll be pretty neat.
Just rendezvous somewhere out in the bush.
Yeah.
Test run.
So,
yeah. No, it's going to be super cool.
Yeah. Campfire band. So we'll sit on the edge of the forest fire.
Well, typically what we've seen, it'll be a nice ambiance anyway.
A fire guard chat with Uncle Mike.
So I hopefully, because this is something that we do think about going into that fall season, is exactly that. I mean, what's the hunting out there if not, you know, if you can't have a campfire? You know, we'll see how it all goes, but sitting around the campfires has always been a big deal.
Yeah, no, we'll
be good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm the great Sean Dini. Mm-hmm. He can see the future.
Can't see what's in front of him, but he can see the
right
future.
Now, and yes, we will have a camper.
Oh, great, no, Sean Dini.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think we should be good.
Everything's going to be good. Stay positive.
Good. So we're going to do some elk hunting.
Mm-hmm. We got a little of our own, maybe, possibly.
Yeah. So it sounds as though he should actually kind of be en route. Mike Massini was part of the podcast here a few shows back. He's an interesting cat, and he wants to do something within the industry. So, and by the industry, I'm talking hunting, but also he's got a bunch of other things that he's doing. So he's a pretty interesting character. And he really wants to come up and focus. I think it's going to basically be the month of September. So we'll see what we can do about, getting him out there and hopefully finding him something.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So he has been to New Zealand. We will have a podcast here. We will talk to him about how his hunts went there.
Yeah.
I know they didn't go exactly as planned. I was getting some messages from out there while he was on the top of a hill somewhere. There were some fairly interesting messages and conversations. So I look forward to talking to him about that and how it all went. I know ultimately New Zealand was incredible, which I imagine. I mean, if I had to relocate, just like pick up and just snap my fingers and it would be New Zealand. I think that's where I'd go.
Teepee Lake Cabin.
That's where you'd go?
Yeah, affordable. An affordable retreat.
And now that's all burnt, it's,
an
you know.
An unorderly yet affordable retreat to Teepee Lake.
New Zealand's fairly affordable.
Oh, I think
I don't know much about
I think it's just, you know, the travel time. It's quite a bit of travel time to get there. But ultimately, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world, and there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
Oh, I know there's goats. I've been watching this guy on YouTube there, Kiwi Bushman.
Oh?
You should check him out. He looks like a pretty cool guy.
Oh, you just gave him a plug, so I hope he is cool.
Yeah, no. We should connect with him. And
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It seems he looks a lot...
The Kiwi Bushman, so is he actually...
He's looks pretty haywire like us, you know?
Yeah, said so. Us. Amy just said you. So anyway, what else can you say about him?
We got a...
What is he hunting out there? What is he doing? What's his deal? What's
his stick? He does freaking everything. You know, fishing and hunting and trapping and, you know...
Really?
Yeah. Gardens, I think. Yeah. Oh. He's got these little river boats, those mini jet boats.
Oh,
rips
yeah.
Up and down them rivers. Yeah, it looks... So we should reach out to him. And,
okay, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be interesting.
Have him on a podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe he's never been to Canada hunting.
Yeah, maybe we drag him up here. That'd be fun.
Because we've never been to New Zealand hunting. Just
mental. Really?
Those boats are mental. I've seen footage.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Oh, it's just crazy.
Crazy.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, he hunts everything, deer and tar and chamois.
They've got
chamois
so many cool things.
Yeah.
So many cool animals.
Traps possums and...
Let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll have to do that. It'd be a fun one.
So, anyways, we got a action-packed fall ahead of us.
And then a winter following. I mean, with the dogs and...
Yes.
You know?
Yes. No, it's not going to stop in December.
We're
going
to have a lot to report.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be fun. Speaking of fun, I had some fun. We raced down to Vancouver. Actually, I had my dad up on the river. We were setting camp up a little bit more, and then I had to come racing down. I got a couple hours sleep, back in the car, 7 hours, just hair straight back, got down to Abbotsford and went to one of Joe Rogan's comedy shows. So I'd never been to one before.
Yeah.
It was cool. I didn't, unfortunately, get to hang with him only because of the way everything kind of, they were late coming in. He's texting me. Everybody's sitting there. The place is packed. Like, it's just bam. Like, there's just people everywhere. And so anyway, I don't know if you guys noticed, but on the Instagram there, I was posting a picture. And then there was other kind of guys or people that I only know from social media, and they're at the same show. So that was kind of neat. They were doing a little bit of weird reaching out, you know, kind of, you know, I didn't say exactly where I sat because I wasn't certain whether or not I'd pissed anybody off. So I wasn't about to, I'm sitting right here, come and slap me. So I didn't do that. But anyway, I was talking to Joe, I was texting him, and, you know, everybody was kind of sitting there, the crowd was waiting. And you know, meanwhile, I don't know if he's caught in traffic or what, but he's still like 15 minutes out. We'll just sit here and wait. But it was well worth the wait. He was super good. It was fun. Super, super funny. There's no doubt about it that if you're sensitive, you probably don't want to go to this show.
No?
No. If you're easily offended, definitely this is not the show for you. But we had a great time. We laughed our asses off. But then it was, you know, it was on the run. Get up in the morning. Karen wanted to make it to the ocean. She said, I cannot get this far and not walk on the ocean. Okay, yeah, let's go. Race all the way there, you know, pitter patter around in bare feet. All right, ready to go. Back up the hill again. So all the way back up home.
Did you tell her it was just the Fraser River?
Yeah. It was so smoky down there, she couldn't see across. It looked like it went on forever.
Yeah.
So, but no, it was, I mean, it was definitely worth the trip, but it was a real rush, fast trip. Big thank you to Joe. He got us some great seats. And the show was definitely, if you haven't seen the show, and as long as you're not easily offended, you know, if you're a snowflake, you're probably not going to want to go here. But yeah, we really liked it. And I'd never been to one before. I had never been to a live comedy show that way. And being to concerts and stuff, you kind of get an idea. Okay, well, that's how it kind of goes, right? I'd never been sitting in the audience when it came to a comedian. It was fucking cool. It was really fun. And when people laugh, right? When they laugh, you can just feel that roar of laughter. It is really cool. It's super cool. So, yeah. So that was kind of my fun there. So I'm getting some hand signals right now.
And sign language.
Sign language. We're sign languaging because, yeah.
There's only one signal I know.
Two now. Oh, thankfully, this isn't being videotaped. That's great.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. It was really cool. So I do want to hook up again. And I told him, I said, once we get a chance, we'll get a chance. We'll sit down. We'll talk about a hunt. We'll get this all kind of arranged. But it does take timing. Everybody's busy, especially if you start stacking a few of these different guys, whether it's Joe and somebody that he, you know, Cam or anybody like that. You know, it's all about making certain that everybody's timeline fits. So, but I look forward to it. Good guys. Super good guys.
Right on.
So Amy's staring across her laptop.
Well, she tried to tell me something, but I don't know what she said.
Oh.
So
let them know about the videos that are up.
Mike Jones Knife and Tool.
Yeah, Mike Jones Knife and Tool short film.
Yes.
Is it a documentary short film? And
we're going to tell you how you can get to it.
What's Matt's handle again on Instagram?
I'm going to give Matt a little plug here. Super good guy.
Matt at
_FTA. Well, you just say it. I can't say it.
Yeah, it's
what? Matt at filming. No. I can't even see this, hun.
Let me see what it is. I can't even guarantee that.
I was trying to sharpen my chainsaw yesterday. And
so what you want to do is this his Instagram account? So if you want to see who Matt is, and he's a traveling cinematographer, bow hunter, podcast host, and he makes some short documentaries with some very interesting people. Look him up. It's Matt_FTM. And check him out. See his stuff. He's a super cool guy. He was on the show here Really nice guy. Can't say enough great stuff about him. And he does some really, really good work. So check him out, Matt.
And how is Mike Jones doing business-wise? Personally, too. How's he doing?
I think he's all great. Good.
Going good?
He just made a knife for my dad, a big skinner, like a beaver skinner.
Yeah, cool.
A big curved blade.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, custom, you know. So, he's doing good. Doing really good.
I think business is doing quite well for him. We're really happy to see that.
Yeah.
Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Turns out he could make use of those great big long power saw bars that I used out on the West Coast.
Yes.
Like we're talking 36 and 40-inch long bars.
I'm sure he could, yes.
And what's so cool is that whole reusing deal. Yeah. You know, like that is just... I think those are his bushfuckers, are they not? A lot of his bushfuckers come from that sort of stuff.
Yes. I think the bigger ones are more the processor bars.
Okay, I got all that. Yeah,
but the bars like you would use on your saws and stuff, the pro bars are all like really good steel, right? So those are the ones he likes for making the knives. I'm not sure the thickness that he. Right. I picked them up. I had a whole handful of like just power saw bars, not big ones like you use, but he was just tickled with those because. You know, a lot of the better quality bars, the pro bars and that, they're all a high quality steel, is what he said. So,
well, and what's so super cool behind it all is the fact that he's reusing so much of this stuff, right?
And a local dude.
God, just a really good dude.
And you know what? He's been able to quit his day job.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then he does what he likes to do as his job.
Yeah. Right
on.
You know,
and he's getting better and better. Yeah, he's getting better. He didn't just get to a comfortable place and stop there. He's doing a lot more work. He's changing up his steels. He's changing up his designs. He's constantly. So not only is he just working to fill the orders that he's going to have, but he's working to get better at his craft. And you don't see that every day. So yeah, super good guy.
Yeah, he's always coming up with something.
Yeah.
New idea. You know.
Yeah.
And his documentary that Matt did with him there. Yeah, so it's on I guess you just go to Mike Jones.
It's on his and it's on Matt's and it's on Instagram as well as YouTube.
Right. So,
so
look it up. You can find it. You're smarter than we are.
Here's a plug. If I'm going to take a knife to a gunfight, it'll be a Mike Jones knife.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That was good.
Hey, boys. You didn't hire me for my looks, motherfucker.
That was nice. That's awesome.
Good one, Rob. Yeah.
Thank you.
he's coming up with some great stuff.
Yeah, and what about him hunting? Like, what's the story there? Are we going to be able to, you know, like, he's got a little guy there.
I don't know if he's...
Well, he's kind of... When I've talked to him, he's kind of, sort of, but basically, at first it was work, and I think now it's just, you know, hooking up with the right people.
Well, we're going to have to just get him out here for another podcast and just have an update and see how he's doing.
Yeah, and talk to him.
He was out the other day at the shop here, like my shop.
Yeah.
And we had a good visit and we didn't talk about hunting or nothing.
Right.
When Jeremy moved into his new house there, he found a block of, I can't remember what he called it. It was black, like ironwood. It was about maybe 2 feet long, 2 inches thick by 6 inches wide.
Oh.
And I bet you that sucker weighed almost 20 pounds.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and we called it ironwood, but Mike looked at it, and he said it's some other type of
lignovitis or...
No. Wow. God damn, I can't remember what he...
Was he excited?
Said. Oh, yeah, he was... Yeah, cool. Make a lot of handles out of that.
Yeah.
I just look at my messenger here, because I think he told me what it was on messenger.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, he's definitely, he's worth his salt. Hell of a good guy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and like I said, those videos are awesome.
Yeah. 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 We're going to have to...
Coca-Bola.
Coca-Bola.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wherever Coca-Bola comes from. Anyways, cool.
Good.
So anyways, Mike Jones, check him out.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. And if you need a knife, go to my... And it's right before hunting season.
Yeah.
And then right after that, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Perfect time. Get then, your orders in now, because I do know that Christmas time is crazy.
And then Valentine's Day.
Valentine's.
That's right.
What says I love you more than a sharp knife?
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm really, really pumped about season this year.
Yeah, no, I am. I am too. I mean, you know, I'm normally a little bit. I'm still got some stressful things that I'm going through.
Yeah, but you're the boss. You got a stressful job. We're the peons.
And no, you're not peons at all.
I'm here to fuck around.
Yeah, but you know, perfect. Great. That wasn't on your resume, by the way. No, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a great season. I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to every single season because you never know what the seasons are going to bring. So I do look forward to them. I think it's going to be a good one.
You know, one thing I'm really, really looking forward to.
What?
And it's.
What are you looking forward to?
It's a spice rum and Coke in the evening after hunting. All
yeah?
Yeah. No, it's just that's one cool. of my things, right?
Cool.
You know, it's this is my / holiday too, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So, you know, it's one of my things that, you know, we get back to the cabin, you have a couple of spiced rums with the clients there, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's downtime for me anyways.
And for me, what I think... Not only, I mean, we get to meet some very interesting cats.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that I'm looking
lot of
forward
stuff.
To.
Yeah, it's the small just things. One thing that, I see. But I mean, even this last year, you know, or like the last previous fall, you know, when I had Rick out there in the boat.
Yeah.
You know, and we got those two bulls, these two massive bulls fighting on the shore, just friggin' tearing the shit out of everything.
Lucky Jack is.
Yeah. And then the wolves start to howl. I'm like, holy shit, is this some Nat Geo shit? This is crazy. And then the wolves get to howling. And then I look over to the right and 200 yards out, 250 yards, I see a cow and a calf jump into the water. So I'm kind of tapping him on the back. He's all leaned over the front of the boat, getting ready for a shot. And we're just sitting there quietly. We're about...
Sorry, man.
There we go.
It starts running.
Well, you can't do anything about it. It's all part of the show now. So people wait for this shit.
They okay, really so lean over the boat. And
so he's leaned over the boat, leaned over the bow, and it's, you know, it's quiet, and we're listening to this whole thing just erupt in front of us. And then over to the left, we see this cow and this calf step out. So I just kind of tap him just so he's prepared, because I'm thinking maybe a bull's going to follow. What follows but a wolf? So wolf's got her. She's in between her and the calf, and she's letting out these really cool kind of they're kind of moans, but at the same time, kind of a quick breath out. She's pissy. She's trying to actually tap dance on his forehead to keep him away, and he's jumping out of the way in the water. So we're seeing all that. Meanwhile, we're just listening to this, wah, wah, rock, smash, 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 wah. And then finally, I'm not telling tales out of school, because it's exactly how it went down from my eyes. And so I see finally when the fight stops, out along the shoreline, just about on a 4-foot rise up off the shore, there's kind of a flat area through the willows, and I'm seeing a cow with a calf following the bull right behind her. Whether he's the winner or loser, we don't know, but he's big. He's big. And I'm watching him. I'm telling him, get ready, get ready. We're 80 yards. Cow, calf, bull, cow, calf, bull. I'm watching, seeing there's no change in transition. This is your shot. Line up, get an idea as far as it goes to height when the cow goes past. Allow the calf to go past, and boom, drop the bull. Cow, calf, bull, cow, calf, bull. Cow, calf, bull walked out of our life. And, you know, I seen him lift his scope and look at the antlers through his scope, which is not that unusual. But I was like, oh, God, no. But you know what? When he turned around, he thought that was one of the most incredible things he got to witness. He was not at all sad about not pulling the trigger. He wasn't sad about it at all. He was, you know, he was like, oh my God, I never would have ever thought I would have witnessed something like that. And just having everything, having nature be so quiet, especially that time in the morning, and then just have this huge eruption of noises and sounds and so wild. He just loved it. He was caught up in the moment. And that was pretty cool. I was cool with that. Although, you know, it was a little bit hard to judge him completely. You know, 50 plus inch bull anyway, that was going by us. So that would have been another one somewhere. The only way he's going to fight as much as they fought is if there was some sort of an equivalent bull around him. But to have the wolves get so tangled up, this fight had been happening for a while because the wolves are excited as well. So that was just super cool.
So could the wolves have been hanging around for a loser, Mike?
Never know,
like
yeah.
Like an exhausted
never know. I personally, and it's just my kind of thought of it, is they just got wrapped up in it. They probably heard it. And just all the excitement and noise. I don't know if they would have thought exactly like that, but there's no doubt about it that maybe if there was either a loser, something with a broken leg, or maybe a cow-calf or something, maybe a calf was left off to the side, they're opportunistic and they're very smart.
Gotcha.
But I'm thinking that just all the commotion is just what got there, just got them excited, right? And it got us excited as well. And it was super cool. So those moments, even going into this season, you never know what moments are going to happen. You just never really know. So, and you never really know who you're going to meet. We got some real interesting cats, and I think this year's no different. So I'm looking forward to it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Can I just add a little bit about the Karelian scared dog?
Yes. Give us an update. We need to give him a name. What's his name?
Timber.
Timber. Okay, on Timber. The Karelian scared
dog.
You
say it fiercely, too. Not Timber. You
okay.
Say Timber.
Timber.
Timber. Timber. Anyway, we took on our first bear last week.
Did you? Really?
And he didn't come second. He came
nice.
First. Yeah, yeah. He
nice.
Went out. Maybe a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
2-year-old.
Yeah, build his confidence.
Scrawny
whatever.
Little body, but a big head.
Yeah.
And I said, get him, Timber. And away they went through the bush, crash, crash, bark, bark, and then real big crash, crash, and then silence. That oh, Timber's gone.
The Karelian dead dog?
I didn't even stop to swear. I just thought, what am I going to tell the missus? I went right to lie mode. But anyway, I just kept walking, and about 15 minutes later, the dog come down the trail from another direction, tongue half out of his head, and just wagging his tail like a bastard.
Oh, happy as hell.
Happy, proud.
Good for him.
So there we go.
Good for him. Right on. That's a good update.
Yeah.
You know that in our last podcast there when the dog was licking its nuts on the stool.
On the ottoman.
And you said, I wish I could do that.
Have you been?
I didn't even think. I should have said, well, you can try, but he's probably going to bite you.
Oh, that's good. I like that. So really, what were you doing upstairs?
Oh, I admire that the other day, you.
Oh,
I
was shit. Like,
I admire
why didn't
you.
I think of that?
No, that's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Well, hell, maybe we can throw them in with our ragtag pack of bear hunting dogs here.
I've seen it. It works. Yeah.
Might trigger something, you know.
I do believe he's a good dog. Like, he's smart. He's, there's something there.
Yeah.
But
well, you know
to
what?
Bring it out.
My dog, Boone, he's a Kelpie, and he don't like bears, and he knows they're, he lets you know when they're around and that. But as far as chasing them, he'll push them away. But now he's got a backup, right? Mm-hmm. He's got he's got his pack, right? He's got CJ now. Now he's a lot more intense about it, right? Ah. When that bear come through the other day, they were,
he didn't belong here, and they wanted to let him know that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yep.
So is Boone the senior dog still? Like, is he boss man?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's
okay.
So he's not. He's.
I don't know now that we throw bigger in the mix.
Well, yeah, but. Boone will never be. I will never send Boone out with the hounds, right? He keeps the truck seat warm, right? But anyways, I'm just saying
there's been a change in dynamics.
Yeah. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's we're gonna have a action packed fall. We got lots of stuff on the go.
Action packed winter.
Elk hunting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wolf.
Stay
hunting,
tuned.
Cat hunting.
We're going to have some cool guests on the podcast.
We got some trapping lined up.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So, we're busy.
Yeah. But so should we call that a
I think we can do a
podcast.
Wrap.
Thanks, Amy.
It was very good. Lots of fun.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Till next time.
Stay hard.
Shoot early. Shoot often.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by Big Country Outfitters, Monster Camo. Don't forget, our promo code is Between Two Racks. That's for 10% off Monster Camo. Antler Springs Skulls and Mounts, Mike Jones Knives and Tools,